Welcome to Veterinary Advice Animal News and Views, the place for pets and the people who love them.
Here, kitty, kitty, kitty.
Here are your hosts, practicing veterinarians Dr. Roger Welton and Dr. Karen Lewis.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to a very long coming episode of Veterinary Advice Animal News and Views. I am one of your hosts, Dr. Karen Lewis, who had to reintroduce herself to her co-host. It's been so long, we forgot who each other were. This is Dr. Roger Welton.
Hello, Dr. Karen. I do feel like we're getting reacquainted.
And we're both really tired tonight, too. So we're like, what are you up to? Oh, you grew a third arm. How nice. Whatever.
Yes, the rigors of the holidays and the no respite in the veterinary industry as well.
Of December, I had no voice for half of it. So we kept trying to podcast in December, and I was like, Roger, I don't have a voice. That was so. Anyway, we're here.
And then we tried to podcast on Monday, and I had no voice.
Yeah, I know, and I got stood up.
Yeah, my apologies.
It's okay.
But here we are. Here we are, Dr. Karen. I'm going to get over my Dr. Karen withdrawal. And so tonight we are discussing a very important pet New Year resolution. And you know, we had a little pre-show discussion about it. But Dr. Karen, why don't you enlighten our listeners on what that main resolution is? Now, there's going to be some others. There's going to be some tangents. A lot of stuff that we want for you, your pets, and for us as veterinarians. But this is a main point. Go ahead, Dr. Karen.
And Dr. Roger did a really good article with five New Year's resolutions for pets. But the big one we're going to talk about is actually more for owners than pets. But it's going for preventative care and actually doing it. And by preventative care, we don't mean come in and get your stupid shot every year. You know what I mean? Because some people think preventative care, I'll get my rabies shot. And that is preventative care. I mean, that is the category that rabies shots falls in. But we're talking a lot more in terms of maintaining your pet's actual health, because most likely your pet's not going to get rabies. Just FYI, that's not a real concern we have. So, so preventative care includes a lot of things. Vaccines are one, but other things, we've touched on this before, I know with Dr. Roger, annual fecal tests for parasites are huge, especially in Florida, where you are. Probably you find more there with me. So
5 to 7 positives a week.
How many?
5 to 7 positives a week on routine care.
Wow.
Routine, asymptomatic, no clinical signs.
Like no diarrhea, no nothing. You're like, nothing. Hey, your annual fecal. Yeah. And that's so funny. And I have spurts of those where, because I tell people, hey, it's time for our annual exam. Save me a poop sample before I come. And a lot of them are like, do I really have to? I mean, I'm not going to hold a gun to your head and make you, you know, do a poop sample. But I'm like, well, I find more than – I must be a scary person, because a lot of people are like, well, if I don't, I'll still be your friend. I'll just talk to you on the podcast.
Of course, you're the vet chick.
I know. I'm a best friend. But I will make fun of you afterwards, and like, that's okay. But and there's so many that like – it's weird, but I have dogs who like get heartworm preventative every month religiously, which also does, you know, intestinal worms, and I'll randomly find hookworms. I'm like, how are you doing this? So, yeah, so that's important. Not so much for your pet's sake, but also for your sake, because a lot of these parasites, children especially, can get, and so you definitely would want to know if your pet is carrying them around and, more importantly, spreading them around your yard. So that's one that I just came up with off the top of my head. But the big one we were going to talk about was blood work and annual blood work. I don't like to call it preventative blood work, because it's not actually preventing anything. It's more like finding it early. You know
early
what I mean?
Screening.
Yeah, thank you. That's a much better word, because people call it preventative blood work. I'm like, no. So anyway.
Yeah, I mean, you make a lot of sense from a semantics point of view. From the semantics point of view, you're not preventing disease. You're catching
right.
it early.
You're
you
finding.
Can't prevent disease by taking blood work, but you can catch it early and deal with it, which really is in the best interest of the patient.
Yeah. So you had three patients you were telling me about. This is incredible.
Karen, this is uncanny. So this is my last week of work for the entire year, right? Dr. Fogelberg, my associate's away in West Virginia skiing. By the way, he came back and I went to West Virginia after.
I'm like, look at the whole freaking week off.
Yeah.
Just jealous I am. Do you know what my December 26th was like? It was insane.
Yes, but yes. Anyway. But what you don't have is the mortgage that I have. So, touche. But whatever the case, you know, Dr. Fogelberg's away. I'm carrying the clinic for this week, as he did for me the week after. So my last day work is the day before Christmas Eve. And I'm thinking this could be a cakewalk, right? This week's going to be easy because everybody's got their minds full, right? Well, it was from the perspective of seeing yearlies and things like that, but I saw every emergency under the book. Emergency, x-rays, pancreatitis assays, blood work. Anyway, long story short, 3 cases in 1 week, Dr. Karen, that I wrote an article about, and I actually called it a cautionary tale. Tail, T-A-I-L, by the way. Isn't that clever? Cautionary tale of 3 dogs, because it really struck me this particular week. And, of course, I flew off to West Virginia. Not flew off, drove off. It was a long drive. Drove off to West Virginia shortly after this week. So, you know, I didn't really have time to write about it, but I knew this had to be a blog post, so I posted it yesterday. So all these dogs had a lot of things in common. They were all between 7 and 9 years old. They all had not seen regular veterinary care or actually been examined by a veterinarian in many, many years. But these owners thought, all 3 of them, good people. I want to stress, good people, love their pet. They thought they were doing their due diligence as pet owners by bringing them in every year to get their quote-unquote shots. But it was a discount clinic, and there was this abysmal – I don't know if you have this in Illinois, Karen – this abysmal law in Florida that you can give vaccines including rabies and do parasite screening like heartworm testing and dispense prescription preventive medication as long as all that stuff is done and the transaction is done while a veterinarian is in the building but doesn't necessarily need to be a part – of what happened. Does that occur in Illinois?
Well, it occurs. If it's legal or not, I don't know. But, I mean, every
state. In Florida,
state,
it's legal.
Because every state these days has low-cost vaccine clinics where the vet is there giving the shots, doing the heartworm test. There's no exam. It's just you line them up, poke them, move on, you know.
So that happens too. But in this case, it's even worse in that a vet's not even doing it. Not even a veterinary technician necessarily could be an assistant doing it as long as there is a vet in the building. So they're just churning these out. Bring them in, bring them out. And so these nice people who love their pets think, well, they do submit a stool. They do submit a heartworm test. They're doing heartworm prevention.
Which is more than most people do.
True. I mean, exactly. No, agreed. Yeah. Like I said, good people. But no, here's what – so the next thing all these dogs have in common is no veterinarian had put his hands or stethoscope on these dogs or her stethoscope, sorry, in many, many years. So number 3 thing they all had in common, horrific, disgusting periodontal disease. So their teeth were rotten. Stage 4 out of 4. How often do you see that, Dr. Karen? Stage 4 out of 4. The worst it can be is 4. The easiest it can be is 1.
Or 0. Yeah.
0 is awesome.
Yeah.
Puppy.
But yeah, no, I mean, and the ones I see are usually ones who have not been to a vet in a while, and they're like, why is he not eating? Why is his breath so bad? Why is it when I come in the room, I smell something bad, you know, and if they've been going to a vet and getting an exam every year, that doesn't come just out of left field, you know. So that takes time to develop.
Exactly. So if there was actual – I'm going to do my quotes here. Can you see them?
Yes, air quotes.
If it was actual well care, that would mean that a veterinarian was actually examining these patients, would have caught the periodontal disease well before it was horrific, right? So these dogs come in. Criteria number 4 that they all share, debilitated, neurological, horrifically ill, not eating and vomiting. So I do blood work on all these guys, and they all have the same disease. Now, this wasn't all in the same day. This was all over the course of 6 days that I saw three different cases that were identical. But I get their blood work back. They have severe, severe kidney elevations and phosphorus elevations. I mean, off the charts. I don't even know how these dogs are even walking on this earth at this point with the numbers they had.
Yeah, we use the phrase not compatible with life.
Not even remotely. You could smell. You could smell the ammonia on their breath. Crazy. Yeah. Crazy. And I suspected as much, but to get three in 1 week, unusual. So they all have the same presentation. So I'm going to do a long story short with the outcomes of these cases. So we're close to the holidays, and these owners want these patients to make it through the holidays, right, for the family. Only one made it through to that point. He's still alive right now, actually. I don't know how long he will be alive, but it's a miracle that he's even alive. He's a bulldog. Maybe that's why. He's a bulldog.
Yeah. They defy all logic, so yeah.
Yeah, they defy logic in many ways. But two did not leave hospitalization. So, you know, I took a lot from this, Karen, and I think one of the big things is, had these dogs even been examined remotely, maybe in middle age, they would have found perhaps some periodontal disease, which we know, and I'm, and correct me if I'm wrong, we don't know the exact predisposing factor there is, but we know that there is a gigantic increase in the incidence of renal failure, meaning kidney failure, in patients that live with chronic dental disease for longer than 2 years. So are you aware of what the factor is at this point, or?
Well, I mean, there's so many factors that go into kidney disease. I mean, breed. I had a four-year-old dog. We got it through Christmas. I euthanized him December 26th. Okay. For horrible kidney failure. I mean, that just freaking sucks. But that dog had bad genes. His kidneys were never normal from the get-go. But there's so many things that can bring on kidney disease. A bad mouth can certainly exacerbate it. I think a lot of it, too, is in the cards, though, where if your kidneys are going to poop out, there's things you can do to bring it on sooner. You know, but I have other dogs who have great kidneys, and they can have horrible mouths, and for some reason they do okay. You know, so I give up. I actually had one client who, again, thought they were doing a really, really good thing. They were feeding their dog this $100 a bag of dog food, super highest protein you could find food. And I was like, why is your 2-year-old in kidney failure? Two. Because all this protein was killing his kidneys. Put him on a different food, fixed him. They thought I was a genius. I'm like, feed normal food. This isn't hard.
Was it grain-free, by the way?
This is before the grain-free fad.
Okay.
This is in the about 10 years ago during the super high protein fad. Remember that one? I think that one's still kind of going on too.
Yeah, well, and the sarcastic best of both worlds is super high protein grain-free.
Oh, yes. That's called the diarrhea maker.
or the obesity maker.
Yes. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. I have an upcoming blog post. It's called The Bamboozlement of Baxter's Mom. And it's all about...
Bamboozlement, that's a great word.
I love that word. And it just fits. But it's all about grain-free food. I'll just let that hang there and not spoil it. But
thanks for the teaser.
But there's a lot of things that can, you know, make kidneys unhappy, or take unhappy kidneys and beat them while they're down. Dental disease is one of those. If kidneys are questionable at all, it'll just put them over the edge, in my opinion.
Well, it's not opinion. It's actual diagnostic and research quantifiable fact. But the thing is, we're not actually sure about the correlation. As far as I know, there still is not an established correlation. But we know that statistically, there's this higher probability of early onset, whatever the case. But they all had that in common: horrible teeth, horrible kidneys. They got the shots, right? He gets regular veterinary care. Gets his shots every year. A shot. I don't give. Not gonna say a bad word, but I don't give a hoot about the shots. I really don't. Are they important? Yes, they're important. They're important. But to me, the laying your hands on the patient, weighing the patient. That's huge. Just weighing the patient is huge.
Yeah.
Right? It's quantifiable. You know, oh, wow, you weighed 15 pounds last time I saw you. Now you're 10 pounds. That's peculiar.
Yeah. So, and I have people who I'm coming out for a consult on like a 15-year-old indoor-only cat. And they're like, oh, my God. I don't know. You know, his shots are a couple of years overdue. Do you think that's it? That's why he's not eating? I'm like, no. Mm. And I'm like, have you give his shots? I don't care. He's 15 years old, indoor only, and you vaccinated the crap out of this cat, you know, for most of his life. So, yeah. So people, and it's funny because when they find out that I'm like, no, I don't want you to give shots. I want to actually do blood work and fix your pet. They're like, oh, it's just, yeah, it's, I think the mindset is still from the veterinarian field from the 70s where all they had to do was give shots because there really wasn't anything else that was available in terms of diagnostics, or it was slim pickings. So they built their clinics and raised their families on giving people's animals vaccines, but it's a different world now. So anyway, tangent, sorry.
No, good tangent. You're absolutely right. You know, I mean, the value that our generation of veterinarians put on vaccines is it's less. Significantly, you know, like honestly, yearly visits are very important. To me, the examination is what excites me, is to find periodontal disease, catch it when it's early, look for any, you know, intra-abdominal masses or anything like that, look for anomalies in the size of lymph nodes, comb, actually here in Florida especially, comb through the hair coat and find fleas. One in four times I do, and the owner's like, "What? They must have caught him here." I'm like, "No, yeah. they're not going to pick up 100 fleas here." You know, all this stuff is really important. Looking for cataracts, you know, all this stuff. I give the shots. Here's what happens to me, Dr. Karen, when I give shots. Ready? A little piece of my soul leaves me.
Oh.
A little piece of my soul just goes away.
You just feel like you're just selling out? Or?
You know, I'm just like, it's not the selling out. It's just like, this bores me. I don't give two craps about this. It's not, you know, I don't consider it a revenue maker. It's a necessity that I do because I have to do. But I'm like, here you go, here you go, here you go. Okay. But the examination and the screening blood work and the fecal analysis is what excites me, because I can actually really realistically assess the health of that patient. Granted, the vaccines are very important, but, you know, like everybody jokes with me at my clinic. They're like, hey, Roger, you got a yearly. Are you excited? You better grab some coffee. Grab some coffee. This is going to be a good one. Oh, it's perfectly healthy.
Well, what my thing is, a lot of my techs are like, oh, it's just an annual. I'm like, okay, how many of our just an annual visit are ever simple?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because I'm like, oh, by the way, why is he limping? What's this crap spewing out of his ear? Oh, that shouldn't be there, you know?
So how about this loud murmur? Have you ever heard that before? Nobody's ever told me that before.
Oh, I know. Right? That's always awkward.
Well, your dog's 7 years old, so it can't possibly be new, right? I could see if the dog was last examined at 1 and I examined it at 3 and I hear a murmur, and before the vet didn't hear a murmur. Yeah, that's reasonable. But dog 6, last seen by a vet at 5, no murmur heard. Not a good examination was done. Now, that's, am I being an ass?
A little bit. Not gonna lie. Because I have dogs that I examine every year, then 1 year the murmur starts, because that's just how the heart disease happens, you know? And I'm like, okay, well, and then it starts out as a 2, and then it turns into a 3. And then, you know, and so, I agree. Like a lot of these annuals, and I'm like, my techs are like, oh, it's a quick annual. Like when you're in a clinic, oh, it's a quick annual. I'm like, do not put those two words together, quick annual, because you just jinxed it. Now the dog's going to like die of cancer, but it's all your fault. And I'm like, thank you for that. So,
go down one of those yearly diagnostic rabbit holes that take you to a bad place.
Oh God, I know. I'll never forget. I had one. Very quick. This one was like epic. It was a really quick yearly. Okay. It was a boxer. that I found a lump on that I aspirated, and it was a mast cell tumor. So we did blood work, and they wanted the blood work done in-house to get results faster. And we did staging of, you know, staging x-rays look to see if the cancer had spread. And then they wanted an ultrasound. So it was a 3-hour long yearly. So the quick yearly, I was like, who called this quick? Where are they and can I kill them? Because if you had not said quick, none of this would be happening. These poor people would have their lives back. So the dog ended up doing fine, but they were just very, very proactive owners who are like, we want to leave no stone unturned. And 3 hours later, I was like, okay, I'm a little behind now, but that's okay. So anywho, but one thing to not have this flow at all, but one thing we were going to talk about was annual or every 6 month blood work that we like to do on, well, I like to do every 6 months on seniors or annual on anybody who wants to. I don't know. Would you just do it on seniors pretty much, or do you start them young?
I start them young if they want to.
Okay.
You know, because like you said, you've seen renal failure in a 2-year-old pet, right? So, I mean, that's case in point. And if you can catch that early, limit the, you know, the blood pressure, put them on the right diet, limit the protein, do all those things in the case of kidney failure, you're doing a lot of great things for that patient that, you know, is going to facilitate longevity. Now, my criteria where I – now, in our field, Dr. Karen, we can't say insist. We can say strongly advise.
No, I insist. My clients know me.
Okay. Well, I can't. So, strongly advise yearly blood work starting at 5 years of age.
I usually do. I mean, it depends on how big the dog is. Usually 7 or 8 is when I'm like, okay, this would be good. You know, and I'm like, if you want to do it this year, cool. If you skip this year, I will be harder on you about doing it next year. You've been warned. And they're like, and some people, like, they budget a certain amount for the exam, and then, and I get it. If, you know, if you have a certain amount that you budgeted to pay for, then I just throw extra $80 of blood work on you. You're like, whoa, I'm not ready for that. And that's cool. But you know what? Next year, you know, and then we can do it then. But I have had 2 instances in the last couple months. One was actually just this past, actually yesterday.
this past yesterday.
Yesterday. I'm like, this is how my life has been. I don't even know what day it is anymore. So, the blood work is 2 things. Yes, you're looking for, are there any problems? Is there kidney failure? Is there liver failure? Yada, yada, yada. And that's, you know, is there anemia? Perfect. But having it be normal is just as useful, because these normal ranges that these labs give us are normal for 95% of animals, meaning 5% of animals are normal and healthy, but their normal falls outside of the normal range. So it's nice to know what's normal for that animal. We call it a baseline. I had a dog who I do senior blood work on her every year, and she's a great little lab mix, and her white blood cells are always kind of low, lowish, like below normal. And the lab is even like, smeared the slide, looked at it. They're all there. All the different types are there. The ratios are good. They're all very happy looking cells. Like, I've asked them, are you happy as a cell? And they said yes. So, you know, they're happy with their lives. There's just not very many of them. So she's always been like this. It's just where she runs. She's healthy as a horse. So she had a infection on one of her joints. And I was like, oh, this isn't good. Before I put you on some long-term meds, let's make sure everything's still kosher. And I kind of want to see what your white blood cells are doing, because I was expecting her white blood cells to be like through the roof, 25,000, like, you know, this major inflammatory response. So I got her blood back and her white blood cells were low. Now, if I did not know that she normally ran low, I would have been peeing my pants, because I would have been like, oh my God, one of 2 things is happening. Either A, her body is not responding sufficiently, and like all of these white blood cells are being sucked to the site because it's low. But knowing that she's normally low, that means no, this infection area is not sucking every white blood cell she has to it, like I was worried. That's just how she runs. She did have a shift in her white blood cells, which tells me that yes, her body is kind of like when you call the cable company and when they're out, we're aware of the problem. and we are addressing it, you know, and that's, kind of, that's what her body's doing. We're aware of the issue, and we assure you we will be, you know, and it, we were sorry for any inconvenience. So anyway, it was just nice to know, and I told the owner that, and she was like, wow. So I'm like, this is when baseline blood work saved us a lot of stress and hand-wringing and what should we do, you know. I'm like, she's fine.
Well, that's a diagnostic rabbit hole that could have led to bone marrow biopsy, right?
So, yeah, bone marrow biopsies, like surgical, like maybe resecting of this abscess if we're worried that it's going to be like, you know, I mean, this could have been a – so it saved them a lot of stress and a lot of money and me a lot of stress. And let's face it, it's really all about me. So
it's so funny because a lot of people perhaps negatively, but sometimes naively opine that we want that diagnostic rabbit hole. We want to spend all their money. We want to jack up their bill. And the reality is that we want actually simple solutions. And we want to spend as little of their money as we possibly need to, because we're empathetic people.
And the diagnostic rabbit holes, even if you're like just a greedy jerk, the diagnostic rabbit holes don't really net us that much money for the amount of time and hand-wringing and anxiety and explaining it takes to do every single test. Trust me, we would rather not be doing them because they are not profitable.
Well, the laboratory fees are huge, right? We're sending those off to a lab, right? And they charge us a lot of money.
And like ultrasounds, those don't come cheap, you know. I mean, like any biopsy procedures. I mean, all this stuff. It's just, and all the explaining, and this probably doesn't come as a shock, but I'm a splainer, so you know, I do lots of that. So
I'm a splainer too.
So I'm just like, ah. So when
that's why we're yakking on the radio here, because we're splainers.
But the best diseases are like the hyperthyroid cat. You do the blood, there's your number. Your thyroid's like 20. It's supposed to be 2. You're like, something's not right here. Goodbye. Okay, that's like our dream case. And people think we're heroes. It's
cause,
so nice.
Effect, solution, treatment, patient better.
Yes.
I love it. As opposed to, ready for this? Routine dental. It's a dachshund. Looks great. Just got bad teeth. We want to do a dental. Run pre-anesthetic blood work. Oh, you have a high alkaline phosphatase.
Oh, which
is the only thing wrong in the blood work.
And it's a liver enzyme that makes everybody near suicidal. Just FYI.
It's the worst liver enzyme ever invented.
Yes.
Because it could mean the patient has an issue. Or it can mean
nothing.
It's fine.
Yes.
Talk about a diagnostic rabbit hole that could take you down. Asymptomatic patient, other than needs a teeth cleaning. Wow, this enzyme is pretty high though. Other two liver enzymes? Perfect.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, that's also a podcast rabbit hole. We'll discuss that on another day.
Oh God. It'll be a rant. I'll just tell you that one right now.
Oh, such a rant. Well, we've kind of touched on it before with hepatic vascular hepatopathy.
Yes, vascular hepatopathy. Yes. So we don't like the rabbit holes any more than you do. And I have, and it sucks because I have some clients who you just have to. I mean, just because you have to get to the bottom of it and you find these really horrible diseases It's funny, but with me, I guess because I do house calls, maybe that's part of it, or maybe it's just my personality. But, like, when I go through all these diagnostic rabbit holes of people, like, we get really close. It's like we've been through a traumatic experience together. Mm-hmm. It's like bonding, you know? And then, like, I'll see them in the grocery store, like, 10 years later, and I'm like, oh, you're the dog who I pulled the stick out of its throat. And they're like, who are you? And I'm like, but, you know, but we had that moment. Oh, okay. I'll buy my bananas now. Nothing to see here. So, but you remember them because it's just, yeah, apparently it's one-sided sometimes, but.
Or sometimes you remember patients and clients because, you know, like today I saw a cat named Harry that was a female.
Oh, yeah.
Harry's a female.
It was a Frank. who was a girl.
Oh, Frank.
And she would yell.
Because they couldn't change it to Frankie? You know, Frankie.
No. She's like, because everybody said he, she's like, it's a girl. I'm like, well, don't name it Frank and yell at me then. Like, name it Frank, that's why we don't yell about it. Like, every time I say he, it just, you know.
It's a girl.
I'm like, did you see? Did you tell?
I see a lot of transgender cats.
Yes. But that makes sense, though. Because, you know, they're cute kittens. You name them. You go to the vet and you find the awkward news that it's not what you thought. And little kittens are tough to tell. So
they don't know their names anyway, so just change it.
Yeah. Oh, I have a lot of...
So instead of Harry, Henrietta, maybe. And, you know, instead of Frank, Frankie.
Well, I have a client. They had three kittens that they rescued, and they name all of their animals after athletes. And so they were named from three Chiefs players. Tyreek, Tamba, I don't...
If it's not Alex Smith, never heard of him.
Oh, yeah. So anyway, and so I was like, what if they're girls? They're like, we don't care. Tyreek will be a girl. I was like, okay, I'm kind of afraid of you right now, but okay. So, they all were boys. What are the odds? I was like, who gets that lucky?
Divine serendipity. Actually, this very evening, no lie, before I talk to you, did you watch the college national championship, by the way?
Oh, I haven't had TV for 3 weeks because we're having construction in our house. I'm a little bitter about that, but anyway.
So, you know, Alabama beat Georgia?
I don't know anything.
In an epic, awesome game. Well, anybody listening who's alive and has a pulse probably knows this.
Oh, my God, that game was amazing.
It was amazing. So you saw it then. Was
that convincing? I'm totally fake.
Oh, my God, it was convincing. I thought you were like, no, but I actually streamed it here. Okay, whatever. You were just playing me.
I'll never believe you again.
No.
There's a nail biter.
So anyway, long story short, I had a lady come in with a Alabama Crimson Tide jacket on tonight, and she had a cat named Allie, and from the same litter was the other cat named Bama.
Oh, God.
And she's got a golden retriever who I've yet to meet who's coming in next week. She's new to the area. His name's Crimson. So some people very serious about
Yeah, and regardless of gender, that's the name you're getting. Because
Allie, as it turns out, Allie's the female, Bama's the male.
That actually works, yeah.
Pretty cute, and they're both pretty awesome animals. And she's trying to be a pretty awesome lady. So overall, I had a really good night of a veterinary today, but, you know, it's not always the case. Hence my cancellation with you a lot. Sorry, things got nuts here. Let's try tomorrow.
And the next day.
Oh, Happy New Year, by the way. Did I say that already?
No, because we were too busy going. Well, I had to pee, and it was all downhill from there.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, by the way. I know it's been so long. But anyway, we're really tangenting bad now. Wow. But so we are I have more blog articles coming out. I don't know if I got to announce this or not, because I think it's been – no, I don't think I have. But I actually had an article published in a real magazine, like a national magazine. I don't think I've announced this in the podcast. So if anybody gets Bark Magazine, it's quarterly. It is journalism for dogs, I believe. It's actually – it's not a this dog's cute and fluffy, you know. It's actually like very well-written, insightful, entertaining articles. Anyway – one of them's mine. So I have an article in there. It's called a Vet's Eye View. And it's about why I hate new puppy appointments, which most people would think vets would love new puppies. So anyway, if anybody gets Bark Magazine and wants to read my article, it's in there. So I'm officially a published author now. So it's kind of big. So I'm hoping to do more.
Well, I read it before.
Yeah, you are one of my proofreaders, actually.
And I will tell you, it is one of the most profound and moving articles that I've ever read.
Thank you.
No, it's amazing. And it really reflects how I feel about it. I just couldn't articulate it as well. I always had a discomfort with these new puppy visits. And there's
a blog too, so eventually.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna
spoil.
It's awkward though, but it is true that it's about how a lot of these puppies come from puppy mills, and we're in this very awkward situation of we want to tell people hey, you're kind of an idiot for buying this dog, and now you're supporting animal abuse. And the funny thing is, these are the people who would, like, protest puppy mills in a heartbeat. Right. You know, so it's the whole – so it's funny because, like, most of my articles, as you know, are, like, upbeat and fun and perky, and I try to put a positive spin on things, and this article is like a punch in your gut. So
it punched me in the gut.
Yeah, I remember my friends read it, and she was like, and now I'm going to cry, and then I'm going to kill myself. So thank you.
I don't feel that extreme about it, but it I always felt that same discomfiture with every appointment, and that rammed home the reason. And, you know, it's something that everybody needs to read. And by the way, once it's online, please let's share it with our audience. Let's put it in.
Because I wanted them to have it first, and then I'm going to make it a blog post probably in the coming weeks. Honestly, I'm still trying to decide what to do with it because it's just, it's so good. I want to make, and I'm not sitting here going, oh, this is, you know, but it's more of not that I think it's good because I wrote it. It's more about it being a message that people just need to get. You know what I mean? It's not me. It's the message.
More than that, Karen, you know, I think I know you pretty well at this point. You know, granted, I've never actually met you in person yet, but we chat a lot and we email a lot. And I, to me, it seems like it's well written, but at the same time, it's just kind of an explosion of feelings that just kind of came out and is just all there. And it's like an opening of your heart and how you feel about this. And it's not even an article to me. You know, to me, it's just, well, it's in the heart of most veterinarians who are ethical and really care about this situation, but are caught between this horrible dichotomy of these wonderful, really sweet people that are excited about their puppy and the puppy's so cute, but God, look where it came from. And how do you convey that as a veterinarian? How do you squash their joy? And how do you feel good about taking that business? It's just terrible.
I know you can't win. And the irony is that these are people who would sign the petition to stop puppy mills. And
absolutely,
who would, I mean, these are those people, and they're the ones keeping the puppy mills in business. So that's pretty much what it's about. But it's, I'm sure as you know by now, I'm a very ardent puppy mill fighter. And,
so
I think the whole podcast, a whole bunch of stuff went down in the puppy mill world this week. Wow.
How about next podcast? Can we do that?
I could do a whole podcast about the changes in that scene. It's interesting, actually.
Is it good or bad or indifferent?
Bad.
Oh boy. I know in California it seemed to get better.
Yeah, well, rescues are making it worse, believe it or not. Again, the whole dichotomy of the people who are trying to help are making it worse. And I've been, kind of been caught in the middle between a few, and it's been very eye opening for me as a person who wants to help animals and help rescue. And I've talked to a lot of people this week, and it's, yeah. So, well, actually, let's do our next podcast about that, because it's a message that needs to be out, and it is fresh. I mean, it's still every day I'm still getting emails and developments. So this is like hot off the press. So
very good. And then at some point we'll get back to your acupuncture certification.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah. But yeah, I became certified in acupuncture. We didn't have a chance to announce that either. Finally, which is really exciting. So we're going to talk about that too, but I just have so much going on and so many different battles I'm fighting. I have to decide which one to talk about.
So we have a lot of incentive to retain the connection. And hey, no more ski trips for me. You're certified now, so no more trips to Colorado for your acupuncture.
Unless I go teach. Oops.
So I am going to I'm going to predict that. I'm thinking we're going to be more on point and do this more regularly.
I'm hoping, because, well, anything's better than the last month was just rough. But anyway, as long as we're both healthy, we'll be good. And we both have doses. That's part of it too.
We are healthy.
So
as far as
anyway, thanks for listening, guys. I know this was all over the place today because it's been so long since Dr. Roger and I talked. Some of it was just like, oh, hey, by the way.
So. Hence the tangents, but this is the good stuff. Well, nice to connect with you, and Happy New Year to you and your husband.
It's a Happy New Year to you and all of your critters.
And Happy New Year to all of you and your critters, listeners. Thank you so much for your patience. Look forward to the email comments on this one, Dr. Karen. Good night.
Oh, please. Thanks, guys.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.